Hello, and welcome to a brand new episode of Look Forward. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Andy. How are you, man?
Hey, what's up?
Holy shit, it's been a long time. It's been since May that we've done a show, but Look Forward is officially back.
Nothing's really happened since May.
No, it's been pretty boring in the political season. So we are back. Just a couple of bits of information. If this is your first time listening, because it might as well be at this point. The first half hour of this show is free to listen to, but you have to sign up for premium content, which you can go to lookforwardshow.com and sign up for premium. And that will give you the full show. But every week, the first 30 minutes will be free. So if you like what you hear, sign up for premium. It's $5 a month or it's $50 for the full year. And you also get the full extent of this show. And we have a number of other shows in the TMP Studios network. Shows about Seinfeld, shows about action movies that Andy has also been on. And we have some other things coming as well in the new year. So look forward.
Don't forget the James Bond podcast.
Oh yes, that's right. Which has the best title of all time, which is The Men with the Golden Tongues, which I absolutely love. So go check those out. Lookforwardshow.com. All right. So we would normally just start with the news because there's plenty every week. But since we've been off since May, we would be remiss if we didn't just kind of talk about our thoughts of the things that have happened since the last time we were on. So the nominees hadn't even been chosen yet. So we hadn't had the convention.
I was just thinking about last time I talked to you, it was still in the primaries. You thought Ted Cruz was going to win, and I still thought Marco Rubio was going to pull it off. So so we were wrong.
Sadly. In hindsight, we were sadly very wrong. But Trump is now officially the nominee for the Republicans, and Hillary Clinton is the nominee for the Democrats. And there seems to be a feeling in the country of, oh dear God, do we have to choose one of these two people? And the answer is yes, you do. You can pretend that you can pick Jill Stein, or you can pretend that you'll pick Gary Johnson. But no, it's going to be one of these two.
I'm leaning towards Evan McMullen myself.
He's the guy. Like, he's got 7 Twitter followers and a Facebook page just under the amount that we have for our shows. So, you know, he's going somewhere.
Is he even running anywhere but Utah?
I don't think he's on the ballot anywhere but Utah.
Because he's a Mormon guy. And he's actually an experienced guy, right? Like, he worked with the CIA. But he pretty much just exists to give Mormons in Utah somebody to vote for besides Hillary or Trump.
Look, as far as I, last thing I've seen, Mitt Romney was polling at like 14%.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I know the Mormons are pretty slow on the uptake on a lot of things, but yeah, that dude's not running anymore. I don't know if you guys know.
Fuck it, I'm right again, Romney.
You know what? We still like that guy. He has our best interest at heart. So we've got Trump and we've got Hillary Clinton, Jill Stein, and Gary Johnson. What did you think? We'll just quickly go over these because they're funny in their own right. What did you think of the Republican convention, and then we'll go to the Democratic convention?
I caught a bit of it. It was if you're familiar with conventions at all, it's pretty funny. Just all of the like, and there was like actual like people that worked in the Republican Party commenting on this as well. But like all of the stuff that Republicans have been known for since Reagan, right? Just the flag waving patriotism, the USA chants, the optimism, the city on a hill, you know, all of that's now gone because they just went doom and gloom, you know, banging the death march drums, all lined up behind Trump, and then you know the Democrats like, oh yeah, we'll use all that shit if you're not gonna.
Yeah, and that was, I think that was such an interesting takeaway that the Democrats were able to have this super patriotic, but not like obnoxiously patriotic, but I dug it in some ways. And they were able to have this really like, hey, we believe in America and America's awesome kind of thing. And the Republicans were like, you're all going to die. Like, all of you. Everyone in this room. Look, I have to give him credit because I would feel terrible if I didn't give him credit. So I told you offline, but I just saw Bill Maher last night, and he had a line that I thought was probably like the line of the night. He says, Republicans make you believe that, because he was actually talking about the convention. He was like, Republicans make you believe that there is a knife at everyone's throat and a brown dick at everyone's mouth. Like, which I just thought was such a fucking great line. But it's true. Like, it's totally true. Like, the entire convention was like, you know, doom and gloom, like, be terrified. You know, they literally had guys up there, which this was one of the weirdest things. They had guys up there and they were like giving a point by point breakdown of like the Benghazi thing. Like, I already saw the Michael Bay movie. I already know how it happened because that was a documentary.
Right. Super accurate.
Yeah. Like, but those guys were like, then I went on the porch and I shot a guy, and then I went on the roof to defend Daryl, and I shot another guy, another raghead. I was like, this is at a convention of a legit party? Like, it was so weird. And they were on there for like 15 minutes, like, blow by blow, this is how many Muslims we murdered. Like, it was really weird. And people are like, yeah, this is fucking, their belt buckles are huge. This is fucking it. This is the shit I want. They were fucking nailing it. It was like fucking Jethro Tull. Like, it was just bizarre. Like, it was just this bizarre thing. And the Democrats, I thought, like, it was weirdly jingoistic. And, I mean, I don't have a problem with jingoism if you actually believe the things that you're saying. You know, it's like, we need to help people and have people of all races. Like, that never made sense coming from Republicans. But at least it makes sense to an extent from the Democrats.
Yes. And also, to be fair, like, half those USA chants were just to like drown out the Bernie delegates.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like,
we're like,
hey, we got fucking screwed and we're not too pleased about it. Look, I mean, I was
disruptive there for a while. And so then just everyone else in the hall decided we're just going to drown you out every time you pipe up.
Yeah. And look, part of me says I totally understand. Like, I understand your anger and stuff like that. But the other part of me says, look, you got to, and I was a Bernie supporter. I mean, you can go back to the previous episodes if you can find them in our archives. But, you know, I was a hardcore Bernie supporter. But at the same time, I also live in reality. And he lost. And look, were there some shady things that happened that I didn't approve of, you know, especially coming from Debbie Wasserman Schultz? And, that sort of thing. Yes, absolutely. And I didn't approve of them. And they were some things that were not above board. But at the same time, she did win more votes by a lot. Like, she just did, dude. Like, okay. Like, at a certain point, you just got to look, you got to just eat it and go, the guy you wanted lost. And that sucks. And it's unfortunate. And hopefully you get a Bernie-like person running the next go round, right? But look, I'm not willing to burn the house down over fucking spilled milk. I'm just not. Like, it, no. You know, there's a difference between a candidate who I agree with 84% of the things that they do and a person I don't agree with any of the things they do. Like, so, no. That's craziness. So, yeah, look, I'm, you know, they have that t-shirt that says, girl, I guess I'm with her. Yeah, that's where I am. I'm not excited for Hillary. I'm not going to pretend like I'm like, yeah, she's going to be amazing. And, oh, she's going to, you know, bust through that glass ceiling, you know, in a fucking Superman outfit. Like, that's fine. I don't need to pretend that. But at the same time, I don't think she's going to be a fucking nightmare. Like, I don't. I just think she's going to be, I think she's going to be fine.
No, and you know, there's a lot for Bernie supporters to get on board with. She did adopt a lot of his platform, and he fought for that, you know. So it's not like she just ripped his shit off. Like, he fought pretty hard to have his stuff put on the platform.
Yeah, I mean, the $15 minimum wage, which I had an interesting conversation with a Republican about yesterday, that was his push. His education policy, she pretty much met him like 97% of the way there. Like, you really can't, you can't be mad that she's not liberal enough and then also stay mad when she adopts liberal policies. Like, no.
One of the more interesting things is, like, her, she actually, you know, they always talk about moving towards the center. And Clinton's actually moved left because she adopted a lot of Bernie Sanders' platform, but is at the same time appealing to, like, disenfranchised Republicans, but without changing any policy. So she hasn't moved anything to the center, but she's like, hey, are you going to vote for that guy? He's, I mean, Jesus. And but at the same time, her platform is more left than it's ever been. As Bernie put it himself, it's the most progressive platform that the Democratic Party's ever had.
Absolutely. And he is a huge part of that. And look.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, to his credit and to, you know, his movement's credit and to his supporters' credit, right? They were able to push the agenda that they wanted. They didn't get the candidate they wanted, but they were able to push the agenda that they wanted. And look, that's not everything, but that's a pretty... Look, I would rather have the platform than the person saying it, right? You know, I mean, at the end of the day, the platform matters. Because look, you put $15 an hour on the Democratic platform, it ain't coming off. They're not going to suddenly go back to $7.50. Like, it's not coming off. So that becomes a permanent part of the Democratic Party. And that's a good thing. That's a very, very good thing.
Yeah. And so, meanwhile, everything that, you know, that some people were kind of hopeful about with Trump, because he was kind of, like, there was a few people that were like, all right, you know, he's a lunatic, but at least he's not, you know, he's dropped all of these sort of tropes of the Republican Party, you know, that we can move on from, and maybe it'll be in a different direction. My dad was actually kind of trying to find the silver lining.
That's cute. That's yeah.
Funny. He's like, well, you know, maybe we can drop the, you know, just the obsession with, you know, like going after gay people and just try to go in a fiscal conservative thing. And then he grabs Mike Pence, and then they put out the Mike Penciest platform you ever did see.
Oh, did you like gays? Fuck you.
Yeah, they're going to get rid of same-sex marriage. They've got gay conversion therapy on the platform.
Look, hell yeah, man. Look, if you're going to do it, you got to do it, right? Like,
yeah.
There's no pussyfooting around here. Look, these gays have got to get converted, and they got to get converted yesterday. And Mike Pence is the man for the job.
Yeah. Boy, if nobody hates gays like Mike Pence.
No. I mean, so, maybe Michelle Bachmann? I mean, maybe. I mean, one could assume.
For those that don't remember, he's the governor of Indiana who had the it's cool to refuse service to gay people law for, you know, religious freedom, excuse me. The religious freedom law that he tried to get by. And like all of these businesses that do business in Indiana all were like, "Nah, fuck you." And
God, he's the
anybody worst. Remember this, the pizza place and all that?
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah,
that was all Mike Pence. That's yes. that's what he does.
Because that's religious oppression, is serving gay folks pizza.
Look, I mean, it's right up there with just like having to fuck a dude if you don't want to. Like, it's right there. Like, it's number two.
Well, it's a slippery slope. I mean, first you serve them pizza, next you have to let them fuck your mouth. That's right. How it works.
Well, no. See, look, you liberals don't quite understand how this works. First, you have to serve them a pizza. Then they have to serve you sausage. And that's how it works. It's all food based. But yeah, like this guy will be one beat away from the president. Like, are you fucking insane? Like, when he picked Mike Pence, I was like, somehow that makes sense. Like, somehow, you know what? I didn't think he could get any more obnoxious. Yeah, look, he figured it out. But the funny thing is, as insane as Mike Pence is, and we're going to have to move on here, as insane as Mike Pence is, he seems so fucking normal compared to Donald Trump. Like, he's just, he's solely there to come in and be like, I know what Donald Trump said was fucking crazy, but allow me to translate it in a less crazy way. Like,
no, Pence is super hard right, but he's consistent, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you have, like, Trump will change his position three times in the same statement.
Yeah, well, or doesn't have a brand, you know, a statement at all, really. You know, he speaks in generalities. I mean, this is a thing that has been happening since the 2008 race, which is Republicans running, and no, that's not fair. From since 2010, since the mid elections in 2010, Republicans running on this, we can fix things, but we're not going to tell you how we're going to fix it thing. Like, why would we give out our like secret sauce? Like, dude, this isn't Thousand Island dressing on a Big Mac. Like, if you think you can fix the economy, work with the president to help fix the economy. But they started running on this, like, we don't tell our secrets thing. And I find that so bizarre that Republican voters are like, yeah, don't tell us our secrets. Like, you don't understand that that's a ploy? Like, you don't get that they don't have an actual answer and that they're just bullshitting you?
That was like Richard Nixon's secret plan to win Vietnam.
Like, oh, well, what's the plan? Well, I can't tell you. Like, oh, all right, well, I'm good.
Any time, like, I know Trump likes to act like he's Reagan, but anytime he gets into a pickle, he just grabs something from Nixon. It's like, I'm the law and order candidate.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but that is super interesting that, you know, there's been a lot of lines drawn to his style. Like, I mean, I tend to not draw his style towards Nixon only because Nixon was pretty much a genius. He was just evil. But he was a super bright guy. Trump isn't. He's more like Barry Goldwater, more and more as time is going on. Like, even people he's picked and things that he's done have been very Barry Goldwater-esque. And it's kind of like, if you could just lose like Barry Goldwater, that'd be wonderful. Like that.
Yeah, actually, that'd be fine.
Yeah. I look.
What do you get, like 45 to 5, I think?
Yeah, dude.
It was a drubbing.
Yeah, he got fucking destroyed. And look, if that's what needs to happen so that he can go away forever, then by all means.
So yeah, he did Pence, which I think was sort of reaching out to like the Ted Cruz.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Type of voters, because Pence is really Ted Cruz-y. But you were not really happy with the Tim Kaine pick. Now that that's settled in for a while, how do you feel about it?
So okay, I thought Tim Kaine for Hillary Clinton was boring, and I didn't, you know, I wasn't under the impression like, oh, she should pick Bernie. Like, she's not gonna pick Bernie. Like, hell no. Right? Like, Bernie's a fucking wild card. Like, he's gonna get out there and be like, we gotta legalize prostitution. Like, he would just say shit that we all believe, and it would just be too liberal. Like, you can't pick him, right? You gotta pick somebody a little bit that you can rein in a little bit, right? I just thought Tim Kaine was boring. I thought that she'd go with a minority. I thought it would have been a smarter move. I thought if you put a minority up there, and not because just minorities vote for minorities, but I think the idea of picking a Latino, like one of the Castro brothers or something, would have been a nice fuck you to the way that Trump started his campaign of like basically calling Mexicans rapists, or not basically, actually saying that. I thought it would have been a nice repudiation of that and sort of that bigotry towards minorities as of late in the campaign before they picked VPs. That being said, to quote John Oliver, she picked America's stepdad, Tim Kaine. And you know what? Honestly, Tim Kaine, besides his horrendous impression of Donald Trump at the DNC, he's been pretty good. Yeah, hey, believe in me. It's like, dude, you're don't ever do that. But he's actually been pretty good. And to you know, to his credit, I think he's been vanilla enough that he hasn't caused any controversies, and I'm hoping that he's vanilla enough to beat Mike Pence on the issues in the VP debate. I mean, I don't think the VP debate is going to be nearly as like exciting as like the one with Sarah Palin was, because she was retarded, and neither Mike Pence or Tim Kaine are retarded. They're just two boring white guys.
I don't know. My favorite is still Biden and Ryan.
Oh, that was a good debate.
Biden is still like a gentleman, and so he wouldn't just beat the shit out of Sarah Palin. But yeah, man, when he had smarmy, young, cocky Paul Ryan, and he just and I know Republicans hated it, but how he was like trying to contain himself from laughing every time Ryan yeah. would say something.
Oh no, he was a dick. Like he was
a huge dick.
He was a dick.
I'm gonna fuck this kid up.
Oh no! No one deserved it more than Ryan.
I didn't like how restrained I had to be last time around.
Yeah.
This boy is going to get taken to the woodshed.
Yeah, I mean, that was the thing. It was like, I can't kick the shit out of Sarah Palin because then I'll be called a sexist or whatever. But which is unfortunate. And that's a thing with Republicans is the bar is always lowered for them. It's like if they don't trip and fall down and hit their face, like, oh, well, they rose above expectations. Like, yeah, your expectations were for them to throw up on themselves. Like, okay. But Paul Ryan was known as like the Republican intellectual. And Joe Biden was like, not in my house, motherfucker. Like, I've been doing this shit for 4 years now. Like you said, let me take this boy to the woodshed. And he kicked the shit out of him, dude. I mean, he literally did that thing with his hands where he raised his hands and he was like, can you believe this guy? Like, he fucking did that in a debate.
He did the shaking head back and forth while smiling, which is just this fucking guy. And if he would have done that to Palin, it would have looked really bad. Because, I mean, at that point, people still kind of liked her, you know, and it would be seen as... You know, fair or not, it would have been seen as grumpy old guy is mean to a lady.
Yeah.
You know.
No, and that was the thing is Joe played it. They played it perfectly. But so, OK, let's move off of that. But so as things stand right now, we've got Tim Kaine and we've got Tim Kaine and Hillary Clinton or Hillary Clinton and Tim Kaine versus Donald Trump and Mike Pence. So. Now, so on the docket, I just have this kind of like status of the horse race. Right now, 538.com, which if you're not reading 538.com, you should. It's like election coverage for super politics nerds and people who love statistics.
Yes.
So Hillary's chance of winning right now is at 70%. Trump's is at 29.9%. and they don't bother putting the other people on there because they have no chance. So
I think Gary Johnson's at like 8% or something. He's been all right.
Yeah. Like is
of the popular vote, not a chance to win.
No. Yeah. Of the popular vote. Yeah. He's rocking 8.8%. He has a 0.5% of electoral college vote, or half an electoral college vote. I doubt that even happens. So, what are your thoughts as far as the horse race itself? I mean, the race seems to be tightening now, but I think that's just because people keep saying it's tightening. So then people are like, does Trump actually have a chance? You know, what are your thoughts on like all of these red states, traditionally red states that are seemingly up for grabs?
There's a couple really interesting ones, right? Like Georgia's in play and South Carolina's in play, which usually aren't. And Missouri. And those have been like solidly red for a while. So it's kind of interesting that those are now sort of considered swing states. They're all pretty well leaning Trump, I believe, but they're within striking distance.
Yeah.
Which you don't normally see. And then a state that used to be super red, like Virginia, is just so firmly in the Democrats' pocket that they're not even running ads there anymore.
No, Clinton has an 81% chance of winning Virginia.
Which is why, if anybody doubted the Tim Kaine pick,
she just
pocketed all of those. He's not very well known in most of the country, but he's beloved in Virginia.
Yeah,
and I forget how many electoral votes Virginia is
13,
worth, but it's a lot.
13,
yeah, 13, and those are just right in the pocket.
Yeah, like okay, we're done here. Now, what's interesting though is Trump is still running. Trump is running ads in like New York and Connecticut.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck he's doing.
No, and it's really weird because he has, and it's not like those are within striking distance of the Republicans. They're not, like, at all. His campaign is a fucking nightmare. It's an absolute nightmare.
Kellyanne Conway, who took over as the campaign, wait, which one is she? Is she the campaign manager or the campaign CEO?
She's the campaign manager.
Right, okay,
the dude from Breitbart is the CEO, which is just made
Steve
up.
Bannon is the campaign CEO, which has never existed before.
Like, whatever, dude.
Trump just made that shit up.
Yep.
But, so she, like, did you hear her interview on Rachel Maddow?
I did.
So she had talked about, one of the interesting things there was inheriting this weird-ass schedule that Paul Manafort had them on. And, like, they had to run out a couple of those, but now she's actually got him going to swing states. But for a while there, like, a couple weeks ago, he was, like, going to, like, Connecticut and Texas, and they had the big, him and fucking Nigel Farage in, was it Mississippi?
Yeah. Why?
There is nothing, Donald Trump could come out and kiss another man, and he's still winning Mississippi.
Yeah, like, dude, Mississippi is not a battleground state.
Yes.
I would love for it to be a battleground state because it would just be hilarious, but like, it's Mississippi, dude. Like,
yeah.
Have you been there? Like, dude, that is not Hillary Clinton country.
And of all the people that are like gonna be like, yeah, fuck yeah, Nigel Farage, Mississippi?
The guy from Brexit? Like, they're not gonna know what the fuck that is.
There are people in, like, you know, the sort of Breitbart alt-right who are, like, super into Nigel Farage. I will grant you that. But are they in Mississippi?
No. And I, look, there's barely anything in Mississippi. Sorry, Mississippi listeners. But, like, there's not. Okay? Besides 33% of your population is black. And I find that to be sad because of slavery. But, like, look, you're not going to lose Mississippi. Stop wasting money there. And, look, part of me is kind of upset that they started putting that Paul Manafort story about him getting the $12.5 million from Russia and from a bunch of dictators that he worked for and shit. I'm kind of upset because I wanted more of the Paul Manafort style of politics because it was running the Trump campaign into the ground.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, for the first time, he seems to be like, on the straight and narrow, like making decisions that aren't absolutely fucking retarded since getting rid of Manafort.
I think that's all Kellyanne Conway too, because Bannon's not coming up with any good ideas.
No, look, you know? Steve Bannon's like, if I were you, I'd go out there and tell him how the Jews have all the money. Because that guy's a racist. Like, he's a racist, dude. He's a racist. He's an anti-Semite. He's a lunatic. He's a lunatic. He said some crazy shit. I saw a quote. There was some quote about women the other day, and I was like, how is this guy still working for their campaign? Like, come on. Like, the dude is a loon, man. He's an absolute loon. That's why he runs fucking Breitbart. It's a fucking lunatic fringe news station.
And Conway's, like, as, like, traditional Republican as it gets, right?
She is.
And again, you know, she's a homer. She's going to go out there and try to clean up every Trump mess there is. God bless her, but she's not like from the lunatic fringe of the party, and so anything that kind of makes sense that Donald Trump is doing, I'm pretty sure that's coming from Kellyanne Conway.
Yeah, I mean, but here's the thing with Kellyanne Conway: when she interviewed on Rachel Maddow, and I've seen her on a number of other things, she appears so normal, and you're like,
yes.
I don't agree with anything that you're saying, but you're not a fucking crazy person, and I appreciate that. And that's really cool. And then I read quotes and she's like, women wouldn't get raped by men so much if they were just as strong. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, then you realize, oh, right. Republicans are crazy. Like, they're all crazy. She's just really good at keeping the crazy at bay.
She's a pollster, right? So she's actually like, she's got some smart ideas about, like, I don't know, not campaigning in Mississippi and stuff,
right? you think,
but she's like the best PR that Trump has, because like, he hasn't found a good surrogate. Trump's surrogates have all been bananas.
No, yeah, dude, what's the black chick,
Katrina?
Oh, oof. Katrina Pearson, right?
Yeah,
she's insane. She's an insane person. Like, what did she do before this job? Was she like, did she guess people's ages and weights at carnivals? She's fucking crazy, dude.
And then we had, who was that lawyer? I forget his name. Cohen? Is it Michael Cohen? It was on CNN. They said, well, Trump is behind.
Says who?
Polls? Which polls? All of them? Okay.
Yeah.
And then the other one, which is just a gift to everybody who's taking this election for the carnival sideshow it is, which is the Latinos for Trump guy.
Oh, God.
Who had said if Hillary Clinton gets elected, there's going to be a taco truck on every corner. And I don't know a single person who thought that was a bad idea.
Yeah, it was like, yes. Okay. Like, rock and roll, dude. I love tacos. Are you fucking serious?
That's a terrible threat.
It's the worst threat. Look, I'm telling you, man. Like, that idea that election, you know, this election is is going to be renamed Taco Tuesday is a genius idea. That's what I would. That's what I would do. Like, did you posted in our group So we have a fan group, by the way, if you like talking politics and stuff. We have a good time. It's go to lookforwardshow.com/fans. And we in that group, I think it was you that posted a story, and it was like they're registering people to vote at taco trucks.
Yeah, they did that. they've done it in a couple of states. I think it was like Colorado and Arizona, but they're putting out taco trucks that are also voter registration centers.
So it's like, come on. That's awesome.
Yeah, you can go grab some carnitas and then register to vote. Like, it's brilliant.
Look, you can't get mad at that idea. It's fucking genius. And if I'm the Democrats, I'm running full steam into that idea.
I think it was actually at a Trump event, I think in Florida, but a bunch of people went and set up the taco trucks outside of there, and they're selling taco trucks, or they're selling tacos to, Trump people, and probably making them rethink the whole thing.
Hey, look, I mean, here's the thing.
I hate you people, but this carne asada is amazing.
The funny thing is, here's how I know that threat makes no sense. Have you been to a Chipotle? They're not just filled with Mexican Americans, dude. They're filled to the brim with huge fat Americans who love fucking bowls of Mexican type food. Are you kidding?
Mexican type. Yes, go to Chipotle for Mexican-esque food.
Yeah, dude. And look, spoiler alert, Chipotle, if you don't know, was started by two very white men.
This is why I support the whole taco truck on every corner thing. Yeah, it's always on. It's an immigrant family. They're giving you authentic as hell food. And yes, I don't know how prevalent they are over on the East Coast, but taco trucks are the shit. And if you ever see one, go eat at one.
Where I am, we have a lot of food trucks because, it's fucking like hipster shit.
Hipsters appropriated it.
Yeah. The funny thing is my friend actually runs a food truck too. Like taco trucks and like East Asian food trucks and stuff, they're super popular. Like, yeah, look, that's the worst threat in the world. I think the horse race, taco trucks aside, is not looking good for Donald Trump. Again, 538.
People are panicking because she got a huge bounce off the conventions, and so people are just like, she's running away with it, fucking landslide, and now it's sort of settled back down to where it was before the conventions, honestly.
Right.
And now people are running around with their heads on fire.
Yeah, like, for some reason, and I need to get off of their mailing list, but I've gotten added to, like, the DCCC or, like, the DNC's email list, and it's like, Trump is winning! Oh, my God! I'm like, no, what? Like, I know you're doing it to raise money, but, like, calm down. It's like, literally, they sent me an email. It was like, President Trump. I'm like, slow down. Calm down. Like, all right, guys.
What happened to the optimism from the convention? You're reverting to your old ways.
Yeah, exactly. We're gonna lose.
I think she was ahead around 4 or 5 before the conventions. Trump got a bounce off of his, and it was almost became a dead heat there, and everybody panicked. And then she got a bounce off of hers, and it was sitting like 8 to 9 to 10
yeah,
in some polls ahead, and people just thought that was gonna stick.
No, come
on. But that's normal. Like, that happens every time. You do a convention, you're on everybody's mind, and, all the fucking dumb undecideds in the middle are just like, oh, maybe I will go vote for Trump. And then they'll watch the Democratic convention. Oh, I don't know. Maybe I will vote for Hillary.
Who are these people, by the way?
Yeah, who's...
Who are these... Like, I've never... I feel like the news gives this weird sort of like, oh, like, people who are undecided are so much more brilliant. And I'm like, there are people who are not paying attention. Like, they're like, oh, the undecideds, they're going to really make the, make or break this election. And, they're just not sure. I'm like, it's not that they're not sure. They literally don't give a fuck right now.
Who is bouncing forth between those two? Like, I know people that are undecided, and they're either conservatives who, like, can't make up their mind if they can bring themselves to vote for Trump. And then the other one is liberals who can't make up their mind whether or not they can vote for Hillary. There's nobody like going back and forth between the two, right?
Right. Oh, well, I was a Bernie supporter. Now I'm a Trump supporter? How? Like, yeah, I used to eat vanilla ice cream, but they ran out. So they had chocolate or they had shit. So I chose shit. Like, what the fuck, dude? Just have the chocolate ice cream. It's not that bad.
The other crazy one is all the Bernie people that have gone over to Gary Johnson, where, like, as far as political ideologies go, can you find anything more different than socialism and libertarianism?
Yeah, like, I don't know, probably anarchy and, I don't know, authoritarianism, although even those aren't nearly as far apart. like, yeah, like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, oh, but he wants to legalize weed. Yeah, okay. Did you look at any of his other platform? Hey, fuck schools, man. We'll just smoke our way to the end. Like, what are you talking about? Like, they're not better. Like, and
how do you make that jump? Like, I think we need a big government that's going to take care of all the people. Oh, what? That guy's out? All right. Libertarianism.
Fuck all the government.
No government at all.
Yeah. Like, and that's the thing is, look, part of it, part of this is our fault, not the hosts of Look Forward. We don't have any power yet, but... But like,
no, it is our fault because we haven't been here.
Yeah, since May, this is
educating
true.
The people.
Yes, but there is a serious issue. When I say our fault, I mean like the citizenry. Like, we really don't pay attention to things, and we just or we allow certain things to exacerbate themselves. And part of it is also the media's fault. Like her emails. I would love all these people who are talking about her email so much. Please tell me exactly. Yes, I agree. It was egregious and it shouldn't have happened and it's a bad thing. Please tell me on what level is it the same as duping the American public into like believing all of these batshit crazy ideas, calling Mexicans rapists, not having a real plan, talking about building a wall that'll cost several billion dollars a year. Not having any policies on next to anything else, how are those two things stacking up the same to you? Are you do you and also do you even know anything about the email situation? Do you really? I mean,
even
you have to ask
you're
yourself
just, like the most basic, have like the most basic grasp of like math and politics, like the most basic. If I tell you here's a guy who's going to increase spending and cut taxes. How do you square that?
Yeah, but he's going to cut my taxes, Andy.
No, he's not. You don't make $100,000. No, he's not cutting your taxes.
No, but he says he is.
But he's not.
Yes, yes, and one person is running on the Eat My Shorts platform, and he's going to fucking win.
That's
because
fucking
we're
brilliant
so dumb.
This week, on the to plug on other podcasts, since we just stole their joke.
Yeah.
Slate, their political show, David Plotz, his wife came up with that this is the Bart Simpson versus Lisa Simpson election, and it's so sadly true.
It is. It really is. Everyone knows Lisa would be a better president. Everyone knows that. But like,
but nobody likes her.
Yeah, but like, but Lisa's kind of lame, dude. So, you know, let's go with the Eat My Shorts candidate. Like, fucking come yes. on. Bart's going to blow up the White House 2 minutes after being in there because it'll be funny. Like, come on. Like,
to try to impress Krusty, who I'm guessing is Vladimir Putin in this analogy.
Yes, you know what? That's pretty good. That's pretty good. but yeah, I just find it like that whole idea of, well, we didn't get what we want, so let's look at the other people. I mean, you could say, look, I will even allow you to say that like Jill Stein is a better logical leap from Bernie than Hillary is, except for Jill Stein is a fucking crazy person.
Well, to me, I think it sort of shows the split amongst the Sanders electorate, which was there was definitely people who are like normally would have voted Green Party who had came over to the Democratic Party.
Right.
Like the old I know a few old Nader voters that came over to vote for Bernie. Right. And were never under any circumstances going to vote for Hillary Clinton. And then there was, you know, more like pragmatic people who were traditionally Democrats like yourself, who really liked what he was going at, but when push comes to shove, you're a Democrat. And then there was also this, fuck Hillary Clinton, I'm not voting for her, I don't care who else wins, contingent, who you're now seeing going to like Gary Johnson and Donald Trump.
I just don't understand. If you are truly as liberal as you say you are, like, it bothers me is, like the logical leaps, like, okay, you are a hardcore Bernie supporter. Bernie lost, and you're like, and I don't like Hillary Clinton because she's corrupt and the emails thing. Okay. but why Donald Trump? Like, how did you go from 0 to 60? It makes no sense.
Well, I think there's some people who actually believe that Susan Sarandon thing, which is, well, you know, maybe a Donald Trump presidency will bring the revolution about faster.
No, dude, that's not how, like, people, I feel like people don't really know how change works. Like, when you get someone like Donald Trump, like, you don't get someone like Elizabeth Warren after that. What you get is a fiery hell for 8 years. And people are just like, oh, well, you know, he'll get impeached in 6 months, and then we'll just fucking Elizabeth Warren, and it'll be all great. Like, no, poor people will suffer, dude, under tremendous weight of his insanity. And not just poor people. Everyone will suffer. Well, except for really, really, really rich people.
Yes. You got 11 million, you know, undocumented immigrants who will be deported. You know, and that's just what he's promised to do. Who knows what else is going to happen?
Right. I mean, like, if you are a liberal, and this is not to say to vote for Hillary.
Oh, and thanks to Mike Pence, they're going to do everything they can to try to nullify gay marriages, which is how you know this is all straight white people that think this.
Yeah. So, like, and this is not to tell people who to vote for. It really isn't. You don't want to vote for Hillary Clinton, or you want to vote for Jill Stein, or you want to vote for Gary Johnson, or Donald Trump. Like, okay, like, I think it's weird that you listen to this show if you vote for Donald Trump.
I don't know that there's any Trump voters listening to this.
I mean, thanks for hate listening. You know, thanks for signing up. But tell your friends. But, like, my whole thing is, if that's true, you know, like, okay, if you look at the election, you say, all right, I'm going to, you know, you decide who you want to vote for. My thing is, you know, you get this comment all the time, which is, it's the, you know, it's a choice between two evils, the lesser of two evils. Why do you use non-nuanced terminology and thought processes in something so nuanced as being president? But you don't do that. Like, if someone said, oh, you have to choose vanilla versus chocolate ice cream, you don't go, well, this is a choice between the lesser of two evils. No, it's just you have to make a choice. Like, that's what life is about. That's what being an adult is about, is saying, okay, I'm not getting all of the things that I want. I didn't get the person that I wanted, but let me look at these other people. Now, if the choice was the Democrats put up Donald Trump, which would be weird, but giving his policies, you know, in the past, like, they could have, I guess. You know, he was liberal before. Like, if they put him up at some point, and then they put up Colin Powell as a Republican, as much as I voted for Democrats, and I consider myself an independent, it's just that the Democrats happen to be always on the side of, like, reasonableness, and they put up Colin Powell on the Republican side, I'd probably vote for I know I would vote for Colin Powell. I would.
For sure.
Like, I'd be like, that guy, I don't agree with that guy on probably 30% of things, is my guess. I don't know all of his, like, domestic policy things, but he's a Republican, so let's say, but he's a reasonable guy. I probably don't agree with him 30% of the way. But 70% is a lot better than Donald Trump. Like, that to me is a good scenario to think about. How would you feel if it was the other way? Would you vote for Donald Trump then? I don't think you would. You'd be like, no, this guy's a fucking lunatic. Or at least that's what you should say. I think some people would be like, well, he's a Democrat and I'm a Democrat, so yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not one of those people, man. Like, so I look at who's going to get what's that?
80%. Oh, he does have 80% of the Republican Party, which actually seems high to me, but it's really low because usually the Republicans rally behind the Republican candidate and he's only got 80%. I know Hillary's over 90 now with Democrats. There's still some salt in the wounds there for a while.
There always will be. Look, here's when it'll tighten. It'll tighten after that first debate. Those numbers will shore up on both sides after that first debate, because it's going to be painfully clear, like, oh shit, this guy could win, because he'll look presidential, right? Just being on that stage makes him look presidential, and it'll be like, no, nah, fuck that. Like, we gotta like get over it, and we gotta do something about this. And I think that's where you'll see people shore up on either side.
That's gonna be bananas, by the way, because he advising him is fucking Roger Ailes, who just got ousted from Fox News. Like, apparently you can get fired from Fox News for who knew? But
Just do whatever you want.
Poor guy got kicked out with, what, like a $40 million severance package?
Oh, so, poor him.
Pray for Roger.
Pray for Roger after he's like, hey, turn around. You know, his statement over the last 30 years is, turn around so I can see your ass.
Yeah, they just had to pay out, was it Gretchen Carlson, $20 million settlement?
Yep.
Jesus.
Now, apparently they've settled up with a number of other people, too, recently, that they're keeping out of the news. But Andrea Tentaros is not one of them. So she's still up to get some money, too.
Yeah, and then my girl, Megyn Kelly, apparently she's there till she's got less than a year left on her deal. And rumor is she's walking, which would be great for her because she suddenly found some integrity recently.
It would be really interesting to see where she goes.
Who's not making the jump for her, though? Like, even if you're MSNBC, I mean, they deal with stupid-ass Joe Scarborough, so it's not like they have any problems putting a Republican on.
But the question is, is she really that conservative? That's
I don't know.
I don't know that she is.
She's been a ratings dynamo for a while, so she could. There would be a scramble. All the networks would be trying to get her, and like, not even just cable. I think like she could go to like CBS or ABC or whatever.
Yeah, she could. She could. I think the money's in cable news, though.
Oh, I know, but like, she would get offers from everywhere.
Yeah,
and you'd be dumb not to.
No, she's
got a big following.
No, she's got a big following. She's super smart, but I'm just interested, what are her politics really? Because I have a feeling that she's a little bit more liberal than she pretends to be.
Yeah, it kind of snuck out there a little bit.
Yeah. And like I feel like if she went to MSNBC and they were kind of like, do whatever you want, I feel like she'd have a couple I feel like she'd be a little bit more liberal. Not Rachel Maddow liberal, but I feel like she'd be much more in the middle than she is now. Much more, yeah. which would be fascinating. I doubt she goes to CNN because CNN sucks.
No,
I mean it just does. I mean it's the third rated. You know, or she could go to the she's not going to go to Trump TV.
No, fuck that. Mm. If I had to guess, I would say she's probably like a center right Republican.
Yeah, that's probably true.
If I had to guess, which, yeah. So she, you can see when she's doing the debate where she's like gently trying to thumb the thing in the favor of like, can we get one of these normal folks?
Yeah.
Ah,
please.
Basic? How about Jeb? You know,
like, come on, say something normal. They're kicking me off the stage. They're kicking me off. All right, let's move into some news.
Yes.
So, the Sioux pipeline That's been huge in the news. The Standing Rock Sioux tribe has been protesting against this pipeline out in the Dakotas. And so, you know, it's been back and forth. They tried to take, you know, like the Sioux tribe came out and had been doing a lot of protests and things like that. And they
fucked up too.
It's super fucked up because, look, Native Americans don't say shit as they're getting screwed over. And they get screwed over a lot. And they don't say anything, generally. This is how you know they're really getting screwed over.
There was like a private security company releasing dogs on protesters and shit?
Yep.
It was crazy.
Yeah, it felt like something out of the 1960s. And so over the over this weekend, the Sioux tribe had even taken the creators of this pipeline to court, and the judge was like, no, I'm not halting anything. Go fuck yourself. I don't care about the environment. And or Indians. I'm just assuming he said this. And because that's how it felt.
Paraphrasing.
I'm paraphrasing his statements. And so Obama came out over the weekend and was like, nah, bro, we're done with this. Pipeline's not getting built. How about that? We're done. And so in a joint statement with the Army, Department of Justice, and the Interior Department, the construction near Lake Ohay was halted until a thorough environmental assessment can be conducted. They will reassess the permitting decisions for the project under the National Environmental Policy Act. So, yeah, Obama basically fucking cut that shit off from fucking overseas, apparently, which is kind of awesome. And look, this is final lap Obama, Flobama. He doesn't give a fuck. Like, oh, really, conservatives, you're mad? Yeah, just stay mad. Like, I don't give a shit.
Yes, I've said it before, and I will continue to say it for the remainder of the year. Eighth year, no fucks Obama is my favorite Obama. He's got a little battle damage on him. He's seen some shit. He's aged 20 years.
Yeah. But, you know, he still looks good. He still looks good. Somehow
He gives no fucks, but he takes no fucks.
Yeah, absolutely. And somehow Michelle Obama looks better.
Good Lord.
Yeah. We won't get into that Essence magazine cover, but good.
But my goodness.
Hey, man. That's a good looking first lady.
We have to be respectful to the first lady and the first booty.
Yeah.
But
good Lord.
But there's a reason that Obama's always got a little bit of a smile on his face.
It's like my life is pretty good. It's pretty good.
I just want to be done so I can go and hang out with this.
Yeah, exactly. For a long time. Done with you people. You're getting on my goddamn nerves.
Gonna disappear for like a year.
Come back. They've got like four new kids. Like, how? I'm busy. Leave me alone.
He looks 10 years younger. I've been healed.
Yeah. Thank you. I've been eating nothing but kale. Sleeping with my wife. So from there, like that's a heartwarming story. But here, let's move into a corruption story, because of course.
Real side, did anything ever happen with Jill Stein and the warrant out for her arrest from that thing?
I haven't heard. I know she had a warrant out and she was spray painting like bulldozers and shit.
Her lunatic that she picked to be her running mate, Baraka from Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were spray painting bulldozers. Thanks. That helps a lot, Jill.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. When people tell me, they're like, oh, but, you know, maybe we should support Jill Stein. I'm like, really? You know, Jill Stein's VP called Barack Obama an Uncle Tom, right? Like, yeah, as a black man, this is my guy. This is the guy. All right.
Yes, and meanwhile, they're out spray painting bulldozers. And, you know, the Uncle Tom is the one who actually got shit done. So,
yeah. Weird. Yeah. Weird how that works. Yeah. Jill Stein. No. Okay, how about that? Florida's Attorney General, Pam Bondi, is in a bit of hot water, as this article says. So, back in 2013, the Trump University case first started up, and a number of states were contemplating whether or not they were going to pursue the alleged fraud from Trump University, and Pam Bondi was one of those attorney generals in her state of Florida. But through the miracle of bribery, the Trump Family Foundation gave her $25,000. And soon after they gave her that, she dropped the case and decided not to pursue it. Now, Trump says that it was not a pay for play. Pam Bondi says it wasn't. She was needing money for reelection. And it just so happened that she got $25,000 from Donald Trump, which he called about, and he was like, "Yeah, I got you. You know, you're my homegirl, so I'll hold you down with this 25 G's." Do you believe that this is completely coincidental, or do you believe this is pay for play?
Fuck no, it's not coincidental. For one, he did that from his charity, which was illegal.
Yep, and he had to pay that money back.
Yeah. Like, that was I forget who. I read a lot of shit. But somebody brought up this point that, like, the media is so looking for a scandal in the Clinton Foundation. Like, they're digging through everything, trying to find something.
Yep.
Meanwhile, Trump Foundation, which is a charitable organization not allowed to give to political, you know, you're not allowed to make political donations as a charity. And it's technically a charity. and it gave $25,000 to Pam Bondi right before that she happened to decide not to pursue the Trump University case. And then he holds a fundraiser for her after that at Mar-a-Lago. And she stayed in execution so she could go do this fundraiser. Did you hear that part? The super gross part?
Oh, yeah. I super heard it. And also, he gave her a cut rate for Mar-a-Lago. Like, she paid a fifth of what someone else would normally pay. Which, by the way, Trump is still such a scumbag. Like, if you're trying to grease the wheels, you couldn't just give her Mar-a-Lago for free? I love that. He's like, nah, I got to make a little bit of money. I mean, like, let's not get crazy.
Yeah. So she's like, there was an execution for that day. She's like, oh no, I'm gonna go do this Trump thing. You get to live for another week, and I'll be back to kill you later.
Yeah, I gotta make money. I mean, I'm not sure, and you're right, and I'm glad you brought it up. Like the whole idea of them looking and digging so hard for something in the Clinton Foundation. Here's the thing: is Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton, are they corrupt politicians in the like general sense of the word? Yeah, of course they are. Right? They get paid by fucking Goldman Sachs and all this other shit, and then they make decisions based on those kind of things. Right? Like no one disagrees with that. I think it's crazy to believe that they don't. However, here's the thing about Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton. They might be corrupt. They're not fucking stupid. Like, they're really smart.
They've been the most investigated people over the last 25 years. So they're generally pretty good about, you know, making everything look nice and neat.
Right. And not only that, they've been grooming her to be president since Bill Clinton left the presidency. So, yeah, they're not going to make it. They're not going to do something stupid like Trump does. Like, hey, here's $25,000. Here it is. Like, the Trump Foundation gave, I think, a total. They gave, like, Easter seals, like, $100 at one point. And, like the Special Olympics, like, $500. Like, that's it. And then it was immediately $25,000 to Pam Bondi. Gee, I wonder if this seems odd.
No, they... The interesting thing about Clinton Foundation is that it's that people are able to look at all this information because you're normally not. Like, you can't just grab any random charity and look at who all of their donors are, right? But you can with the Clinton Foundation because apparently Obama demanded it, which is, all right, if you guys are going to have this thing, it's got to be super open secrets, right?
Yep.
We have to be able to see every penny that goes in and out of that place because he was her Secretary of State. And she's like, all right, I know Bill's running this charity on the side, but it kind of can look shady, so we want to make sure all the books are open on that. Which is why people know the information they do about it, because you can go look. Anybody can go look. So if a single cent went from the Clinton Foundation to the actual Clintons themselves, you'd know about it, because it's all accounted for.
Yeah. Again... You're trying, and this is that part of the media issue. You're trying so hard to create a controversy. There's one right here. It's right here.
Right.
It's with Pam Bondi and Donald Trump. It's right here. This, you know, there was that great comment by John Dickerson this week that said, the reason why these things don't stick is because it doesn't go against his narrative, which I think is important. Like, yeah, he's kind of a shady dude. So you go, $25,000. That seems about right. Like, but Hillary Clinton is saying, like, I am not cheating. I'm not doing these things. So they're like, well, we'll be the judge of that. So they're like, they're digging to find these things.
Well, I mean, and that's the thing is Trump basically ran on that last year. And he's like, yeah, I buy off politicians all the time.
Yeah. He's
so
like,
it's kind of weird that he's saying he doesn't now.
And the media doesn't hit him on that hard enough.
Right. You can find clips of him not a long time ago, not digging through an interview from the 80s, from this election.
He said it in the first fucking primary or primary debate.
Debate. Yeah. I buy these guys off all the time.
And they kiss my ass. He said that.
Yes.
Like he said in the press conference.
I donated to Hillary Clinton and I wanted her at my wedding and she was there.
Yeah. I mean... Again, the Pam Bondi thing is like super interesting, but they're spending so much time on something else that they're not seeing it. It's like literal fucking corruption. It's a smoking gun. They made him pay the money back. Like you can't do that.
He had to pay a fine to the IRS.
Yeah. And people are like, oh.
So you can't just stand there and go, no, I didn't. Like, then what'd you pay the fine for?
Yeah, I can't show you my taxes. You know, they're boring. You don't want to know. Like, oh, what? All right. All right, let's move on. Gary Johnson is officially on the ballot in all 50 states, according to this
sure
article.
Sure is.
But does he know the names of all 50 states? That's the question. So, Gary Johnson.
Poor Gary Johnson.
Like, he might actually be a pretty decent argument for, like, not smoking a lot. So Gary Johnson is on all 50 state ballots, which is good. Shit, Trump might get knocked off of one, which is kind of interesting. But
oh yeah, what was it, like he didn't have his papers in time for Minnesota or something?
Yeah, and they're like, the Democrats are like, too bad, so sad. We want you fucking booted. Will it probably happen? Probably not.
Not that Minnesota was in play anyway, but yeah.
Right, but you know what? I kind of love that. I kind of love it. Like, you know what? Fuck you. Because actually, that could be where Gary Johnson wins. Like, ah!
No.
He wins Minnesota. No. That shit would be hilarious. Like, ah!
They're super liberal up there.
Yeah. But they're also really kooky and weird, too. So Gary Johnson, yeah, he's made it on all 50 ballots. Now, to some people, that doesn't seem like, why would that be a thing, right? Like, of course he made it. He's running for president. He should be on all 50 ballots. But that's not how it works. It's state by state in getting on the ballot. Jill Stein the Green Party is not on all 50 ballots.
She's only like on 20-some. And like we said, Evan McMullen is just running to be the president of the Mormons.
Yes. So God bless him. I hope he wins.
Yeah, good. Yes, good for you.
What if he just came out of nowhere to just fucking win Utah? Like, what? That guy? Most people would be like,
in play. Like, that's the state where Gary Johnson's doing the best. That's a state where Trump's doing the worst. And then Evan McMullen, who, you know, Mormon home, you know, the hometown kid. So what's interesting is, like, so Utah understandably was the reddest state.
Right.
But, you know, they went for Romney, clearly. But they were also the reddest state for McCain. So they've been, you know, the past two elections, the furthest Republican state. And they are now like Hillary's within like a point. But it's not like she's doing super well there. It's like 35 to 36. Like, yeah. There's just so many people are like, fuck Donald Trump.
Yeah. Yeah. Johnson at last clip, Johnson was doing 15%. That's pretty good. Yeah. That's not bad.
And like you said, Mitt Romney's doing 14 and he's not even running.
Right. Mitt Romney's sitting back going, yeah, check me out. Fucking awesome.
I might win Utah.
Yeah, I got this. You're welcome, everybody. They haven't had, the Libertarian Party hasn't had a person on the ballot in all 50 states since 1996. So, you know, good for him. Look, I think it's a good thing that he's on all 50 states ballots. For many reasons. For many reasons. I think third party candidates need to be on more. I think they need to be shown in more debates and things like that. That being said, I also want, I believe it was somebody in our fan group that said, I don't want any fucking excuses. I want this guy to get his ass kicked in all 50 states so people can go, they can't do, oh, what if Gary Johnson was in all 50? Yeah, well, he was, and here's what happened. No one gave a fuck, right? Because his policies are garbage. It's the 13-year-old's view of politics. Well, if I have all of my toys and you have all of your toys, then everything will be fine. Oh, really? Is that how a society of 300 million people works? Great. Thank you.
Yeah. And, you know, he's personally, like, super into weed and, you know, pro-abortion and everything. But that's not the libertarian way. It's not like he's just going to go in and the government's going to make all that happen.
No.
They're for letting the states decide everything. They want to remove government regulations on everything. So every state individually would decide whether or not they want to have abortion be a legal thing. Which, guess which ones are going to immediately not do that.
Yep. And that would be a nightmare scenario for all of the citizens in that state.
Yeah.
Right? Oh.
It already is.
Yeah, I mean, they basically tried to whittle it down anyway.
Yeah, like if you live in Mississippi, there's one place, I think, and you got to drive 6 hours if you want to, you know, have an actual doctor take a look at you.
Right. I mean, Texas, I think it's like 3 or 4, you know?
Yeah.
And it's not like you live in Rhode Island where you're in a state that takes 25 minutes to drive through. You can just hop to, you know, New York or something. No, you live in fucking Texas where it takes 9 days to get the hell out of that state.
Yeah, there's people that like literally have to drive to New Mexico just to even like, just to not deal with all the Texas bullshit.
Yeah, which is disgusting. But yeah, Gary Johnson, he's your man. He smokes weed every day. I didn't know he smoked weed when he was governor.
Yeah,
I was like, holy shit, dude, this guy's brazen. This guy is brazen. Like smoke weed every day is his favorite fucking song. That's amazing.
Yes. He had his little gaffe this week. Now, I'm going to be super fair to Gary Johnson.
So he went on Morning Joe, and they'd asked him, so what would you do about Aleppo? Not what would you do about Syria. What would you do about Aleppo?
Yeah, I mean, in fairness, that's kind of a dick question.
Right. Most of us knew about, if nothing else, we saw the little kid covered in ashes last week that said, this is what's going on in Aleppo.
Right.
But so if nothing else, we have that recent in our memory. But Gary Johnson's not really a foreign policy guy. He was a governor, two-term governor of New Mexico. Governors generally don't have a lot in the way of foreign policy experience. And he's a libertarian, and they're kind of isolationist. So his foreign policy is basically, nah. And
yeah, that doesn't work.
And also, to be fair, Joe Scarborough's an asshole. So that seemed like a gotcha question, but the problem is Gary Johnson just stumbled face first into it.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, here's the thing: him not knowing the city is, it's not particularly that acceptable when you're running for president. At the same time, it's not like I shared this with you privately. When fucking Herman Cain didn't know anything about Libya.
Yeah.
And he's like, Libya, Libya, Libya. And he like moved his water forward in that like desperate moment of trying to jog his memory. Like, if I move this bottle forward, that'll give me 3 seconds. Like, nope, shit. Like, it didn't happen.
It's not like Gary Johnson went, what is Syria?
Right.
But
so
but it still looks bad. And he couldn't have sounded like more of a stoner going, what is Aleppo?
Yeah, exactly. But my thing is, he tried to clean it up like afterward. Like he did that. He did that. That little talk with Willie Geist afterwards, and he's like, "Yeah, you know, I messed up. Sorry, you know, blah blah." But then he tried to clean it up later. He's like, "Well, no, I knew what Aleppo was, but I just like the question." I'm like, "Dude, you didn't know. Like, you just didn't know the name of the city. You didn't know the name of the city." Yeah.
It's fine. I feel bad for the guy because he's just getting dragged. And he generally, from people that have talked to him, he's a likable guy.
I'm sure he is.
Right? He just wants to hang out and lower everybody's taxes and smoke some weed. Like, you know, that's...
But, look...
What are you going to do? I'm not voting for him, but he seems like an okay dude.
Right. But, like, I mean, here's the biggest takeaway from Gary Johnson. We'll move on. Which is, Gary Johnson was a Republican for a very long time. And then Gary Johnson reinvented himself as a libertarian. So... I'm not sure why people think that he suddenly doesn't believe all of these other things that he's believed for 30 years. He does believe those things. He just also likes weed.
Yes.
Okay. That's not enough for me. Sorry. Look, as much as I think weed legalization is a very important topic, it is not the most important topic. It's not. We got to smoke weed, man. Yeah, we also need to try to help people not getting murdered by ISIS. Like, we need to do those things, too. So, if we could prioritize those things a little bit more, I'd appreciate it. But, you know, what is Aleppo?
What is Aleppo?
he did seem so fucking confused. That shit was hilarious. Speaking of gaffes.
Poor Gary Johnson.
Speaking of gaffes, Hillary Clinton came out fucking swinging this weekend. And said, quote, to just be grossly generalistic, you could put half of Trump's supporters into what I call a basket of deplorables. and people got really mad at her. You know, the Republicans were like, how dare you insult the racist, homophobes, and bigots that we have in our party? That's half of us. Probably more.
That's my favorite complaint about that, because she did kind of walk it back and said, I shouldn't have said half, and everybody that's supporting her is like, yeah, because it's more than half.
Look, but- it you know, it's funny, you know, to show, like, you can't tell tone from text. When I saw her retraction, I read it as, yeah, I apologize. I didn't mean, I shouldn't have said half. Like, bitch, it's more than half. Like, that's how I read it. And I was like, oh, damn. I was like, all right, Hillary, shit. I was like, that's a hell of a statement. And then I read it. I was like,
she left it super ambiguous, right? Like, yeah. So everything that she, like, everything she does is as focus grouped and ran over. Like, there's no accidents in what Hillary's saying. So I don't think people are calling it a gaffe. I don't think it was. Like, she put stuff out there very purposefully.
Yeah.
You know,
I think it's to gin up the whole thing of like, is she right? You know, because that's what the news will jump on is she correct that a lot of fucking people are pretty fucking deplorable who vote for him?
Well, that's what the discussion is now. And that's what's kind of brilliant about the way they worded it is now people aren't saying, oh, is that fucked up that she said that? They're going, is it half? I mean, is it more like 25%? How many white supremacists are supporting Trump? Like, they're not saying it's fucked up that she called these people deplorable. They're actually debating the number.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of brilliant, isn't it?
It is. It's actually kind of out of the playbook of Republicans. That's the type of shit they do. They say outlandish shit, and you're like, what? And then people are like, yeah, let's debate that. And you're like, no, don't debate that. That's not helping. And she's like, yeah, debate it. Keep debating it. You know what? I was wrong. I'm sorry. It was 25%. According to a CNN poll yesterday. Like, yeah, no, it's actually a super clever move.
Yes, and she's sticking to her guns up. I'm not going to stop calling out this bigotry and bullshit, you know. And so I'm glad she didn't walk that all the way back.
Yeah, look.
Because there's some fucking deplorable people over there. I know a lot of Republicans, and they will freely admit, yeah, there's some deplorable people over in this party. Like, how can you not? There's people, there's literal, like, not like, you know, like how, you know, some people will go, oh, there's Nazis, you know, like that's the internet thing. Like, literal fucking neo-Nazis are supporting this guy.
Right.
Literal Nazis.
I mean, that's my whole thing that I will never understand about the Republican Party. You're supporting a guy who literally had David Duke say, yeah, he kind of inspired me to run again. Like, David Duke, guys. David Duke.
That's my guy.
Yeah.
Like, he's got the Breitbart asshole who calls himself the voice of the alt-right, right? Like, he called himself that. That's not somebody else calling him that. And he's on staff. He's the campaign CEO, whatever the fuck that is.
Yeah, no one knows. I don't know what that means. But, it's just really, really funny. Like, how do you reconcile that as a person who, you know, as a person, like a regular run-of-the-mill Republican? You're like, I'm not a racist, but you're supporting a guy who's literally backed by white supremacists. Like, do you think that maybe, just maybe, like, there might be some connections there? It's just it's so bizarre to me.
Well, and you could see it in how many, like, high-level Republicans, anybody who's not, like, except for, like, Giuliani, everybody who's out of the game right now, like Romney and the Bushes who don't have skin in the game, they're not backing this dude.
Nope.
You know, Kasich, the convention was in his own state, wouldn't show up.
Yeah, he was like, I got to wash my hair that night. I don't know.
Yeah. The big list of excuses for people that couldn't make the convention is hilarious. There's one guy that had to mow his lawn.
Yeah, like, sorry, guys. Like, look, these weeds are getting out of control. You got a lot of, like, lawn manicures.
I can't make the convention. I just, yeah. That's pizza night with the kids. I can't.
Like, oh, which night? Because, you know, the convention's multiple nights. Yeah, pizza night's every night. I don't know. Like, all of them.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's taco night right after, so, I mean, I can't.
I mean, not taco night. I mean, no, meatloaf. Yeah, American. Yeah. I hate tacos. I hate them. They're the worst. But, yeah, it is really weird to think that somehow it's crazy to say, yeah, a lot of these people are pieces of shit. No, dude, but they are. Like, they literally are. Look, if you don't believe it and you're listening to us and you think, oh, we're exaggerating or something like that, just do yourself a favor. Go on Twitter and do the search tag alt-right and just read the people who support that hashtag. Like, there are people who are making fun of it and mentioning it like these people are pieces of shit. But read the people who are like, yeah, I'm an alt-right person. And they're like, they're neo-Nazis. They're like, the South is going to rise again. You know, all this crazy shit, dude. These are not even like regular Republicans. These people are fucking lunatics. They're not like, we need to lower taxes and the Democrats are taxing spenders. No, these are people like, we need to shoot Hillary Clinton in the head so that the fucking lizard people will come back. Like, they're crazy. Right? I mean, you got Alex Jones, you know, him and his lunatic fringe of folks. They all support him. They're all on the alt-right, too. They believe the moon landing was faked and, you know, that NASA has some magical life force shit that'll keep people alive. They believe this shit. And they're like, yeah, Donald Trump, he's the guy. Hillary Clinton had a couple of emails, so, you know, I'm really mad about it. All right, man. Like, I guess. Look, I'm not happy about the emails, too, but I'm also not an insane person. Like, I'm just not. And also, if you're black and you're voting for Donald Trump, you're a fucking idiot. Like, sorry, not sorry. You're a fucking moron. You just are. Look, I would like to just go on. I'd like to go on record right now. It is actually September 11th is when we're recording this. I would like to go on record and say that black people are the smartest people in this country. Okay? I know we get a bad rap because our education system is terrible and all the schools that we're sent to are awful and all this other stuff. Right? We got a lot of bad representatives out there. But black people are the smartest single group in America. You know why? Because we have almost 100% rejected Donald Trump. Even Mexicans haven't. And he called them rapists. We are the smartest demographic. Period. Hands down. We are. Like, hands down, we know bullshit when we hear it, and we're like, fuck that guy.
That was kind of funny of the racial divide of the response when those polls came out. And, you know, all of the, you know, white liberals I know were spreading that around. Ah, Trump's at 1%. That's ridiculous. And then all of my black liberal friends are like, that seems high.
Yeah. No, fuck that, dude. Why is it 1%? Like, who are the...
Oh, 2.8% margin of error, so it could be negative 1.8%. All right, that seems better.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? That's about right. We're actually inventing black people to not vote for him.
Mitt Romney got 5% of the black vote.
Right? Right. Yeah. But look, here's the thing. Here's the thing with Mitt Romney. I think that Mitt Romney is the classic 1980s style Republican. He's about money. He's not really about people. He doesn't really give a shit about that. He's about, you know, making money, putting money in the pockets of rich people and the trickle-down economics. But look, if he had been elected, I don't think he would have blown up the country. Like, he would have been president, and I would have disagreed with a lot of the things that he did, and he would have probably done some things that I probably might have agreed with, and I'm like, eh, that's not so bad. And he would have probably, it would have probably been like 2080 in me agreeing to disagree with him. And
apparently he did good things for healthcare in Massachusetts, so I don't
know. No, he didn't, because he can't even run on those things now.
Right.
So let's say it's 2030, but like with Donald Trump, it would literally be like 0 to 100. Like, I would not agree with anything that he did. I'm going to build a wall. No. And I'll build a virtual wall. No. How about you just keep doing what Obama's doing? And that seems to be working. Yeah, it is working, and we're going to do that, but I'm going to pretend like I don't want to do that now. Oh, okay. Like, whatever, dude.
Like, I think just in general, black people are much better at sniffing out bullshit than everybody else, just because you've dealt with so much.
Yeah, I think that's like true.
Like, you can tell if a guy's a racist before he opens his mouth, just from the way he walks up to you, right?
Yeah, like, here's the thing.
We can't see it as well. It's like how gay people know when other people are gay, right? Like, yeah. You can sniff that shit out real easily.
Yeah, I mean, look, here's a telltale sign how I knew that Donald Trump was a racist. Telltale sign. When you refer to black people as the blacks, it's 100%, dude. Because and I know that sounds like, oh, that's funny or whatever. No, it's a telltale sign. You know why? Because it means that you're talking to about black people or to black people as if we're not people. When you say the blacks, like the Latinos. No, you mean Latino people or like Latino folks, like you don't refer to white people as the whites. No one does that. No one does that. The only time you say the whites is when you're talking about fucking laundry. Like, it is. It is. So that was my telltale sign when he was like, I have a great relationship with the blacks. I was like, I'm out. I don't give a fuck what else you have to say. This guy, one, does not have a great relationship with the blacks. But
the reason that anybody ever even heard Donald Trump's name, right? This goes back to the 70s. His first like national exposure as a person on earth was this massive lawsuit against him for not renting to black people.
That is correct.
Nobody knew who the fuck that guy was outside of New York before that.
Well, look, and I mean, here's a thing for white listeners, that they probably don't know this. So, you know, it's like, oh, black people should give Donald Trump a chance, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, okay. Here's what I need you to do. I need you to Google two things together. Trump and Central Park 5.
Oh, yes.
So if you don't know, like Central Park 5 was this, and there's actually an interesting documentary on Netflix called The Central Park 5. So the whole thing was these kids were blamed for, these five kids, they were black and Latino. They were blamed for raping and like brutally beating up and raping this white woman in Central Park in the 80s. They were like between the ages of like 14, between the ages of like 14 and 16, and it was five of them. Now, they didn't do it. This is a fact. This is not a guess. This is a fact. They didn't do it. And
they got exonerated later, right?
Yes, they got exonerated using DNA evidence, and they actually found the guy who did it, right? And the woman who is still alive, by the way, like she was hit from behind, so she never saw who it was, right? So she wasn't the one who said like it was those black kids, right? So these kids got arrested, and they're young. They're like 13, like 14 to 16 or 13 to 16, something like that. And they were coerced into admitting that they had done this shit. And they went to jail for a really fucking long time. Now, when they got arrested, Donald Trump, this is not political Donald Trump, this is just Donald Trump, the guy, put out full page ads in the New York Times asking to bring back the death penalty for these kids and say, oh, we need to kill these kids and all this other shit because, you know, our streets aren't safe and all this other stuff, right? Now, you could even make the argument, I don't, because I think it's a deplorable argument, you could make the argument that, well, they thought they did it, right? So, you know, like, yeah, he was on board, right? You could make that argument in an insane way, even though I think putting the death penalty to 15-year-old kids is a little nuts. But
no kidding, huh?
Yeah, like, I know, it's an extreme viewpoint. But the more fucked up...
Wow, you are out there, Jay.
I'm a fucking Jill Stein liberal. But when they were exonerated through DNA evidence, Trump came out and said that it was bullshit and that they were still guilty. So he double fucking down on his own bigotry when it was proven that he was wrong.
Here's DNA evidence. You should still probably kill him though, right?
Yeah. So he still was like, no, those guys did. To this day, he still thinks they did. These guys are out of jails with families now. They spent like 20 something years in jail.
And not to mention how long, like, he was the face of the birther movement.
Yes.
Black people didn't really take that well, I don't think.
No, we didn't.
And as much as he snuggled up to Omarosa.
Ugh. You know, black people don't really like her either, right?
No, whatever. You're kidding me.
Yeah, I know.
But she's black. But wait, no, she's black though.
Yeah, I know. Look, again, this is another one of those like crazy Jill Stein liberal things. But yeah, no, we're not really big fans of Omarosa.
No, but he's friends with Ben Carson though.
Yeah, we're not too not anymore. We used to be down for Ben. Ben used to be one of my fucking heroes, man, as a kid, and then he became clearly retarded. So it is what it is. All right,
but he went to a black church in Detroit.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And only, like, seven black people were there. And they only showed, like, the fucking first, like, three rows, but the rest of it was fucking empty. That shit's hilarious. So, all right, let's move on, because we got to quickly burn through these. So the Trump campaign announces a massive, this is pretty big, $90 million in fundraising in August. And I was like, whoa, that's a little scary. And then I read the article, because you should always read the article. It turns out, much like everything with Donald Trump, there's always just a twist on the fucking topic to show you that it's not quite as honest as they portray it to be. One, $90 million seems like a lot of money. In that same regard, Hillary Clinton raised $143 million for her campaign and joint fundraising efforts between her and the Democratic Party. Now, the $90 million that Trump raised, they didn't release how much his campaign raised and how much the RNC raised, which I think is telling. And so they now, the Trump campaign now has $97 million cash in hand, which means they only had $7 million on hand before August, which is kind of fucking hilarious. Like, they had no money. But the $90 million, my guess is $80 million, $85 million of that is probably from the RNC. And not actually from the Trump campaign, which just goes to show that those guys they aren't resonating. Like, they're not resonating. And when you're just going after poor people for money and saying, I'm so rich and I don't need your money. Yeah, people with money are like, okay, but then I'm not going to give you any.
Trump's got that one, what's his name? I can't remember. But he's got that one big donor who's got his back on stuff, who's like the reason that Kellyanne, because Kellyanne Conway was part of that super PAC for Ted Cruz before this.
Right.
I can't remember the fucking guy's name.
Not Sheldon Adelson.
No, Sheldon Adelson is staying out of this one. Yep. And the Koch brothers, interestingly enough.
Yeah, well, they're doing all the down ballot races, so please vote.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, they're definitely giving there, but they're staying out of this one. When other billionaires are like, nah, fuck that guy.
Yeah, like, pay attention. Kind of like, this guy's an asshole.
Damn it. Can't remember his name. But he's like the one big money backer for Trump, and he's the reason that Kellyanne Conway's in there, because he wanted his own person put in there. And so the reason that the Trump campaign is not as bananas as it could be. So thanks, asshole.
Yeah, we were riding high there for a minute.
But Sheldon Adelson, he's usually good for like $100 million every presidential election. And he's nope.
Yeah, he's like, nah, man. Been there, done that. These people are fucking lunatics. And I mean, that's pretty goddamn telling, by the way. It's like, dude, Sheldon Adelson and the Koch brothers are like, fuck this. Like, no. So, yeah, keep throwing good money after bad. Next up, so in foreign politics this week, I thought these were two really interesting stories. WikiLeaks, I used to be a really big champion of WikiLeaks. Not so much anymore. And it's not because they've been critical of the Democrats or critical of Obama. I have no problem with that. And releasing information about the DNC and stuff, I have no problems with that. That's totally fine. I'm starting to find them being very pro-Russian, which I think is kind of interesting. And I think that they're getting played, or they are willing participants. And I find that to be a little weird. I'm starting to believe that maybe Julian Assange is much more conservative than he pretends to be. And that I think he's sort of against liberal ideas, which is kind of interesting too. So WikiLeaks back in 2012 published emails from the Syrian government that were stolen by some hackers. And in that series of emails, the hackers there was an email about $2 billion being transferred from a Syrian bank to a Russian bank, showing direct connections between, I guess, Assad and Putin. And when WikiLeaks released all of these emails with like redacted information, they just left that out. Like they were like, there's nothing in there about the $2 billion. And apparently, and so, you know, the obvious response is, well, maybe the hackers got it wrong and there wasn't an email. But apparently, all of a sudden, WikiLeaks is like, we will take action against you if you keep reporting the story that there was an email about this $2.4 billion transfers between Syria and Russia. And the Daily Dot, who ran the story, was like, go ahead and sue, motherfucker. Like, we dare you. We triple dog dare you. So I don't know. I find it interesting that of all of the companies having this major issue with, Hillary Clinton and her emails, it appears that WikiLeaks has its own email scandal.
I think this is a great thing for the Clintons, actually, or for the Clinton camp, because now you've got actual proof that they fucked with some of their information. So they could release, they could come up with, Julian Assange is always threatening to go after something. But now we've got proof that, he altered some information, right?
Yeah.
So he could drop some information that Hillary Clinton, stole $1 billion from the Red Cross, but his credibility just got hit.
Yeah.
So what's to say they didn't edit that?
Right. I mean, but that's the thing, is like, a lot of their choices as of late have been really strange of like the stories they go after. And I'm not even talking about.
By the way, I don't know if Hillary Clinton stole $1 billion from the Red Cross. I just totally pulled that out of my ass.
No, she did. No, that's true.
Damn it!
You just threw her under the bus, you big dummy. She loves billions of dollars. I mean, who doesn't really? So yeah, look, I think it does hit. I think it does hit their credibility pretty well. I guess I'm sort of under the guise of I'm much more leery about them as an organization as of late. And
yeah, their motivation is like he's not even trying to pretend that he's not just totally out there to fuck over Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, and look, that's a problem, man. Like, look, you've got some great points, but don't make it about her. Just make it about the information.
Well, even if it was that, but your information was solid, then you got a point, right? But now you're making your own information questionable.
Exactly. And amazing. Like, I found that to be really, really fascinating.
I mean, everybody's got a motivation and a bias, you know. And, you know, that's fine that he's got that. He's not a big fan because, because he basically, like, lives in, you know, an unused janitor's closet in a...
in a fucking embassy.
Right, because of Obama and Clinton. So, you know, he's not a big fan. That makes sense.
So funny. Yeah. We'll see, man. We'll see.
Seriously.
Why
hasn't Hillary Clinton murdered that guy already? Come on.
Yeah, just get it done. Just get it done.
Fuck.
It'll just take so long.
She's like the worst mass murderer ever.
Yeah, she seems to take her time. It's kind of weird. I mean, she, you know, her and Bill Clinton, you know, they had a threesome with Vince Foster and then murdered him fucking House of Cards style. They're bare hands. Whatever stupid shit. Like, people are so goddamn dumb. All right, next story, which I thought was really interesting. This is that, what did I label this story? I labeled the story A Moment When We Agree With ISIS. So ISIS, you know, known terrorists and general psychopaths.
Oh, is that what they did?
Yeah, they don't fuck around. They have decreed that women should not be able to wear burqas in the Islamic State in secure areas. And you think to yourself, really? ISIS says that? Yes, really, because apparently a number of women have tried to kill and have been successful in killing ISIS fighters and, like, leaders in full burqas, and, like, they sneak in and nobody suspects them, and they fucking pull out guns and murder these guys.
Yeah, you're fully cloaked. You can hide all kinds of shit under there.
And so it turns out they were like, this might not be such a good idea. That's hilarious to me.
Yeah.
It almost should have made it in This Week in Stupid, but, like, it's so fucking good. Like, it's such a good foreign policy story. ISIS is like, whoa, 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 whoa. Wait a minute. Who came up with these burqas? You, motherfucker, what are you doing? Yeah. Burqas and automatic weapons don't mix, okay? They're really a bad combination.
Good on you, ladies, by the way. That's brilliant.
Fucking kill them. Kill them all. Who cares?
You're going to make us wear this shit? Fine. But guess what I'm doing under here?
Yeah. Fucking building a pipe bomb. Good. Fucking idiots. All right, let's move into This Week in Stupid so we can wrap up. This is one of my favorite stories of the week, which is general moron Ammon Bundy of the Bundy Ranch. Ammon Bundy's lawyer, J. Morgan Philpott, is arguing in court, you know, these are the guys who are like, hey, we're going to take over that little fucking federal building that, like, had maps in it or some stupid shit.
Like a fish and game building?
Yeah, exactly. It was like, hey.
But still, that's a federal crime.
God, I can't wait for them to get sentenced. I might do a fucking Facebook Live because I will be laughing hysterically. You dumb, dumb redneck idiots. But so Ammon Bundy's lawyer is arguing that his client should be able to wear civilian clothes, right? So that he doesn't seem guilty, even though he obviously is. But they're arguing for him to be able to wear his fucking cowboy boots in court because he is, quote, never, he has never worn slip-on shoes in his life. He's only worn cowboy boots.
Yes. Their big stand that they're making is he needs to wear his cowboy boots and his cowboy
hat. And his cowboy hat in the courtroom. Because they said, well, you know, if he's not wearing his cowboy boots, that's not so bad when he's sitting down, but when he has to stand, people in the jury are going to look, and these guys are cowboys, and they're going to see that, like, this guy's a cowboy, but he's not wearing cowboy boots. Fucking guilty. Like, that's what they're going to do? That's how they're going to draw the conclusion?
Because cowboys never go to prison, right?
Yeah, like, come on, man. And he's going to wear that fucking cowboy fucking 10-gallon hat. That's what's going to get him off.
Have you ever seen a gruff-looking white guy in cowboy boots and a cowboy hat and thought, yeah, he seems pretty innocent.
Yeah, I'm like, that guy's fucking, look, he better hope his fucking jury of his peers aren't black. Because I'm like, this dude is fucking guilty. He's guilty of some shit.
Send him to prison for something. I don't know.
This guy has said some shit that I know I don't approve of at some point in his life. Look, I once wore cowboy boots to school in middle school, and I did not pull them off well, and I got made fun of for a very long time. This guy,
no kidding, huh?
What's that?
No kidding. Huh?
I also had a bolo tie. That was a thing. that was a thing.
Oh, Jay.
That was a real thing. I swear to God. For some fucking reason, a black kid in Baltimore City with cowboy boots and a bolo tie. Jesus Christ.
Was that like a thing in the early 90s?
It was. It kind of was. It was for a minute. Like, and look, I expect nothing but ridicule from fans, but like it kind of was for a hot minute. It was.
Oh, yeah. Johnny's working on the Photoshop right now. Yeah. There's rootin' tootin' Jay.
Yeah, exactly. It's coming.
You are currently Photoshopped on the back of a horse with a couple of pistols firing into the air right now.
That's how I got to school in Baltimore. That's how it was back then. Back in fucking 1492. So, he wants to, him and his fucking hillbilly friends, they want to be able to wear ties and fucking handkerchiefs and steel-toed boots and shoes. No. I'm pro Ammon Bundy on this because I think they should be able to wear whatever they want because they can boot, scoot, and boogie their ass right into a cell for a decade for doing what they did. Like, I don't give a fuck about them at all. I could care less, man. I really could. I really fucking could. So, like, by all means, fuck them. So the final story, and I'm gonna let you take this one because I'm sure you have plenty to say on this one. The final story is the U.S. Freedom Girls. If you remember, those three girls who they basically were like, over here, America's great.
Fucking song has been stuck in my head because now the story's back up. And apologize for freedom. I can't handle this.
Well, so go ahead. Tell the story because it's fucking great.
So there was these, where are they from? Florida?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, so Pensacola, Florida. So there's these very cute little girls who their parents were Trump supporters. Clearly, no kid would come up with this idea on their own. And they made a song, a pro Donald Trump song, and at January. Okay, so in January they went to some rallies, and they were cute girls, and they sang their Donald Trump song, and you know, that's fine. You know, campaign songs have been a thing since campaigns have been a thing. So
yeah, it is what
that's all fine. The problem was they were promised a lot of shit that they were not given. They were promised actual money to show up, and then they said, no, you're not getting any money. And like, all right, well, can we sell our merchandise at the rally? And they were not given the merchandise table that they agreed to. And then security made them leave their shit outside, and it all got stolen.
The best part of that is people at the Trump rally stole from little girls. And
yes,
they're like,
they stole a bunch of shit from little kids. And they had said, all right, well, we'll make it up to you, have you at another rally, and then they never did. So they screwed over these little kids.
Right. But here's the larger implication to that, which is they can't even pay these debts and do right by these little kids that support them.
Yeah, so now they're what are they suing Trump for? $1,000,000,000, something ridiculous.
Yeah, I can't remember, but like, yeah, look, I would sue him for like $10 million.
Yeah, for sure. But
oh no, the group is suing him for $15,000.
Oh, okay, that's not bad.
No, but like, pay the money, dude. Look, if you're actually not an asshole, I would just pay, like, I'd give him $30,000. I'd just be like, look, this was a misunderstanding. Just give him $30,000.
Yeah, like,
what's $30,000, dude? It's nothing.
It looks terrible, right? Like, you had little kids that came out to sing a little song for you. It was like the one, like, halfway endearing thing about the Trump campaign. It was a stupid song. But it's an earworm. It's like I said, it's been stuck in my head all year.
I personally thought they were. I thought it was really creepy and weird. But like, for conservatives, I could see them finding it really endearing. Like, it just felt very Nazi-ish to me. It just did. Like, little girls, like, Heil Hitler. He's pretty cool. Da, 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 da. I'm like, what the fuck am I listening to? Like, it was bizarre.
Okay. Like I said, the song is awful. Just the idea behind it is awful. But, and clearly they didn't come up with this idea on their own. But, you know, I can't get mad at little kids.
No, of course not. Of course not.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's just funny. All right. That is it for us this week. But we will be back next week.
Donald Trump literally stealing money from babies.
Yeah, you know, maybe I'll get that. Maybe we'll Photoshop that. Him just like stealing, just like a fucking candy cane from a little kid in a fucking bassinet. Like, you know, at this point. But we will be back, of course, next week. And we are back forever. So,
yes,
I'm very excited. Andy obviously is the permanent co-host. So
that's right. I won.
You won. Of all the people running, you won. You're the Jill Stein of this podcast. So we'll be back next week and we'll, you know, back into it on the news, and we'll be posting more stories on our Facebook page and everything else. So obviously you can listen to the show on iTunes the first 30 minutes, but you have to be a premium member. But make sure you tell people about the show. If you really enjoy the show and you want to, you know, tell people about it, you know, send them the link on iTunes to the first 30 minutes and tell them it's really awesome.
And join the group. It's super fun.
Yeah. So lookforward.com/fans. And that'll direct you right to the Facebook page. Also make sure you get those 5-star reviews in on iTunes. As long as they're 5 stars, we will read them on air. All right. We will see you guys next week.
Later.
Bye.